You now turn with me in the Word of God to Matthew's Gospel and the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning to read at verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. We've already looked at a great number of delusions that our hearts are often deceived by. And this morning I want us to consider another thing that we're deluded concerning, and it's the miraculous. People have many delusions regarding the miraculous, regarding miracles. People are deluded into imagining they will accomplish more than they ever will. If only we could do greater miracles, well then what a change it would bring in the nation spiritually. Many people are deluded into imagining the miracles that are claimed today remotely resemble the miracles performed by Christ and the apostles. Many people are deluded into imagining that the miraculous is an evidence of spirituality, when we find in the Word of God some of the most unspiritual Christians perform the miraculous. And indeed, unconverted people who are now in hell, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, did miraculous things. There's an awful lot of delusion about the miraculous. There's an awful lot of heat, but not much light, when people talk about miracles and the miraculous. First of all, then, people are deluded into what they imagine the miraculous miracles may accomplish. If you're a Christian, you would agree that we're living in times of great spiritual darkness. If you're anything over 40, perhaps, as a Christian, you've seen a change even in your lifetime. Things have altered. There's a time of great apathy and indifference to the things of God, to the Word of God, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in times when people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's obvious. It's apparent. You just have to look and you can see that's the case. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a Christian, you should want from the depths of your heart God to be loved, God to be worshipped, and men, women, boys and girls to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be forgiven their sins and be at peace with God and become God's children. You should desire that, you should long for that, you should pray for that. But you are deluded if you imagine miracles will accomplish that. If you imagine if people can only perform miracles here on this earth, then it would overcome people's apathy, it would stir them out of their indifference, it would result in multitudes of people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're deluded if we imagine very public, spectacular miracles would result in whole-scale conversions to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we feel if God would only perform miracles as he did in the past, it would demonstrate to this ungodly world, this ungodly age in which we live, that there is a God to be loved, a God to be known, a God to be worshipped. We perhaps imagine if only the miracles that occurred regularly throughout the Bible were occurring today, what a difference that would make within our society and spiritually. If they were only as common now as they were in biblical times. Well, in actual fact, there's a delusion in that statement. In actual fact, the period of history covered by the Bible from beginning to when it closes, that period, those number of years, miracles are quite rare. If you look at the period covered, you'll find that they weren't everyday occurrences. Thousands of years are covered, but there are large periods and there were no miracles at all. There were few miracles over large periods of time. If you look at godly Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, what great prophets they were. But it was hardly a time distinguished for miraculous activity. You look at Joshua and Zerubbabel, Ezra and Nehemiah in rebuilding the temple, and you see the same again. And then if you look at the person Jesus says is the greatest preacher the world has ever seen, John the Baptist, there's no miracle. If you read the biblical history from beginning to end, something should strike you. Miracles happen at special times for special reasons. They have nothing to do with the faith or the dedication of the people. In other words, the more believing you are and the more dedicated to God you are, the more miracles you'll see, and the less that's the case, the less miracles you'll see. If you read through your Bible, you'll find that often there were miracles at very unspiritual times. And you'll also find that there weren't miracles at times of great spirituality in the history of the Bible. They're not scattered evenly through the history of the Bible. Sometimes when things are going well spiritually, they're absent. And sometimes when spiritually everything seems dead, they are quite common. So when did they happen? They always happen at important times in the history of God's revelation. That's when miracles occur. They're not there to prove primarily there's a God. They're not there to primarily help people in their need, as some of them did. They're not there to get people to believe in God. The primary purpose of the miracles was to pinpoint a divine messenger who was giving the divine word. In other words, this was a God-appointed messenger preaching the word of God that everyone, every human being that lives, should believe and obey. Do what they say. Now, when you read through the history of the Bible, you'll find there was one occasion when miracles are plentiful. And that's the time of Christ and the apostles. And the Bible makes clear they served as credential signs to authenticate God's messenger and God's message. The miracles with the apostles showed that they were apostles and they were instruments of God's revelation, giving God's word. That the word that came through them, we even today are to believe and obey because it's the very word of God. Paul says of himself that signs of an apostle were performed amongst you. He says, signs that I was an apostle. That word there speaks of the miraculous that he performed. In other words, I was authenticated as an apostle, as an instrument of God's revelation, by the miracles that God gave me to do. We're told in Hebrews, God's message is given by those who heard Jesus. God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. In other words, God bore witness to the fact that they had been with Jesus, they were giving the message of Jesus, they were giving the word of God by the miracles they performed. And what was true of the apostles was, of course, uniquely true of the word of God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracles authenticated him as God the Son, and as God the Son, his word, his message, obviously, is the very word of God. That's why, you see, God, in actual fact, could perform miracles anywhere, anytime. God is an all-powerful God. Nothing's too hard for him. If God wanted to, he could perform a miracle every moment of every day, in every place. There's no question about that. But obviously, in the history of the Bible and throughout history, that hasn't been the case. And in actual fact, you wouldn't expect it to be the case. If people were performing miracles, it would seem to suggest that God's revelation wasn't complete, it wasn't finished, or that it's insufficient. We today need further messages from God. We need people to be authenticated by God as giving new messages from him that every human being must believe and every human being must obey because it's the word of God. But God tells us in his own word that his revelation is sufficient and it is complete. And that's why we wouldn't expect it. When a gardener transplants a tree out of one spot to another, until the root, you know, gets established and into the soil and the tree is growing, he will attach stakes, he'll water the root every day. But once it takes root, he'll remove the stakes and he'll cease to water the root daily. It's no longer necessary. Now, God uses miracles to authenticate those who are his messengers giving his message. But if that message is complete, as God tells it it is in his word, and it's sufficient, as God tells it is, well, the stakes are no longer necessary. So throughout the history of the Bible, miracles aren't common day things. They are rare. And many of the most holiest people of God never saw one. Some of the most eminent of God's people in the Bible never saw any miracle. They were used by God for a particular purpose, to confirm, this is my messenger, and the message they're giving is my word. And all mankind are to believe and to obey that message. It was not to prove that he existed, or for people to believe in him. You see, the reality is, if a human being won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the Word of God, no amount of miracles will cause them to do so. I mentioned you recently in a different context, but Jesus said on one occasion, if people won't believe Moses and the prophets, even though the most astounding, incredible miracle were to happen before their eyes, that is, one of their own family who has died was to rise again and come back to them, Jesus says, they still won't believe. He said that miracle would make no difference. It's hard for us to credit that, isn't it? Really? Don't you imagine, don't you really feel, say in your family circle or somebody you know, if one of their family died and that member of the family rose again and came back to them, well, that would be it. That would seal everything. From that moment on, these people who've been so apathetic and you can't get through to and you talk to them about the things of God and they're not interested, what a difference that would make. They would be then converted. And Jesus says, no, they wouldn't. He says they wouldn't. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, if they don't believe what God's word says, a miracle is not going to make any difference. You see, we put too little store by the word of God and too much store by the miraculous. External miracles are powerless to affect or transform a person's nature. They can't do that. External miracles can result in a short-term, superficial profession of faith because it appeals to somebody's external senses. But they can't change a person's mind. They can't change a person's heart. They can't change a person's will. They can't do what we often imagine they're able to do. And Jesus says, if a family member rose again and went back to them and they won't believe the word of God, they still wouldn't believe. When Jesus was on the earth, people saw miracles the like of which they'd never seen before and have never been seen since. What incredible miracles were performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't go through them all, but you know surely many of them. Amazing miracles. Multitudes saw them and died in unbelief. The greatest, most spectacular, most supernatural miracles ever performed on the history of this earth, and people saw them, and you'd imagine that would be it. That would clinch it. And they died in unbelief. You see, people don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ for lack of evidence. They really don't. Oh, if only God performed a miracle before their eyes, they would believe. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ because of their sinful nature. And no miracle on this earth performed by Christ or happening like that to a family member changes the sinful nature. The miracle Christ performed on the Gadarene demoniac couldn't have been a more decisive miracle. Yet it produced no good effect on the Gadarenes themselves. None at all. You see, the reality is, Christ doesn't establish his kingdom by the force of miracles, but by the power of the word of God in operation in people's hearts and lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how Christ builds his church. So miracles were given at special times for special reasons, not to cause people to become believers, because they can never do that. Look at Pharaoh, the things that Pharaoh saw, and he still didn't believe. So we're deluded if we imagine external miracles would be the answer to the problem. If only God would perform some miracles like he did in the history of the Bible, everything would change. It would be so different. It wouldn't. It wouldn't. That same sinful heart and sinful nature that rejects Christ revealed in his word, no amount of miracles will alter that. And we're also deluded if we imagine that which is claimed to be miracles performed today resembles the miracles of Christ and the apostles. A true miracle, and that word is used very glibly today, a true miracle is an event so clearly supernatural, it produces a sense of astounding awe and wonder in anybody who observes it. Now, what is often claimed to be a miracle today doesn't come close to what Christ and the apostles performed in the way of miracles. They were incomparably spectacular. They were totally undeniable. And ears cut off and just put back on. All illnesses are immediately and permanently healed. People are raised from the dead. Nobody questioned or doubted the validity of the miracle. They couldn't. The miracles claimed today are not spectacularly undeniable. They don't produce a sense of awe and wonder as Christ and the apostles. If they were, the people concerned wouldn't be able to move for the media. They really wouldn't. They would be flooded by the press and by the television. They wouldn't get a moment. But they're not. And people get very quickly excited, and just as quickly, they disappear. They don't produce their effect because they're not of the same quality and quantity as of Christ and the apostles. God, in answer to prayer, can perform a miracle any time. But we should be very, very careful how we use the word miracle. And we are really deluded if we imagine anything has remotely taken place since the time of Christ and the apostles that resembles what they did. Get all your church history books out and study them and look at different centuries and different claims. Get your common day books today. You can pick hundreds up on your bookstore. Go to meetings yourself, observe on the television, watch, and you'll find they don't resemble anything that Christ and the apostles did. And you're extremely gullible if you imagine they do. And you haven't really taken on board something of the awe, the wonder, and how spectacularly undeniable these miracles that we read of in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles were. They were remarkable. They were totally undeniable. They were God's authentication. We're deluded also if we imagine that miracles are an evidence of spirituality. If somebody does a miracle, they must be a very spiritual person. If a church performed miracles, they would be a very spiritual church. It's open to question which was the worst church that's described to us in the New Testament. You may think the church at Laodicea for certain reasons, or Sardis, church at Ephesus. For different reasons, you could say one of them. And for other reasons, of course, you could say the church at Corinth. I'd have hated to have been a pastor of the church at Corinth. What a church it was. It was full of pride. It was full of discord and disunity and disharmony. It was full of immorality. It was full of heresy. And indeed, they were in such a sad state that when they even gathered for the Lord's table, it was total chaos. And Paul calls them as a church carnal, even though he acknowledges the gifts of the Holy Ghost that Christ had placed amongst them. So the outwardly miraculous is no sign of their spirituality. And God says through Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, it's possible to be able to do many amazing things, and if you haven't got love, you are nothing. And it goes on to give you a description of what real love is. And it involves obeying God in our personal behavior, in our lives. Not easily provoked, suffers long, kind, not behaving unseemly, and so on. In other words, love isn't some fancy sort of word. Love is something that can actually be observed in action and behavior. It means really obeying God in our personal lives, in our attitudes, in our manner, in our reaction to people. You see, that is the evidence of spirituality. Not the miraculous. God says in 1 Corinthians 13, you can have that and be spiritually nowhere. But you've got love. If you're obeying my word in your personal behavior like that, well, then you're a spiritual person. One of the most remarkable statements regarding the miraculous is given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read it earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We see there, the miraculous says nothing about a person's spirituality. People can perform great things, miraculous things, by God's power or by Satan's power, by God's permission, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ says, they're not even converted. They don't even know me, and I don't know them as their Savior and Lord. And they will be shut out of God's heaven. He says, many people who are miracle workers in my name on the day of judgment will be totally disowned by me. I never knew you. You see, the miraculous says nothing about one's spirituality. Balaam in the Old Testament prophesied, the Egyptian magicians did many remarkable things, but there was no spirituality about them whatsoever. I want to tell you about a man who did unquestionably, undeniably, miraculous things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who were truly demon-possessed, he cast out demons from those people. And when people came to him with all manner of illnesses, he wasn't selective, but he healed them immediately and permanently. What a spiritual man, perhaps you'd think, he was. Well, his name's Judas. He was one of the 12 disciples. And Jesus tells us he's a son of perdition. He was eternally lost. All the miracles he did in Christ's name said nothing about the man's spirituality. He wasn't even converted. Just as those speaking here. We did this, we did that, we did the other in thy name. I never knew you. Depart from me. Jesus goes on then to show how real spirituality is seen. It's by behaving like, he says, a wise man. He says, it's living your life in obedience to my word. All the profession in the world and all the miracles done in Christ's name mean absolutely nothing without the obedient heart and life of an individual person. Miracles don't identify the person who possesses them, performs them as a spiritual person, even as a Christian. What does is sincere repentance and faith, as the Word of God describes it, and living your life in obedience to God's word, which is the fruit of real repentance and faith. Jesus doesn't say to these people here, well, you were once my disciples. In the past, in my name, you performed miracles, but you've fallen away, and that's why you'll be lost. He says, I never knew you. Never known you. When in my name you were performing miracles, I didn't know you and you didn't know me. And they were lost forever. You see, God doesn't mistake profession for practice. He doesn't. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. But if they don't live their life in obedience to his word, he is not their Lord that they profess at all. How can somebody personally say, Lord, Lord, if they have no intention in all the areas of their life, letting him be their Lord and obeying what he says? So the way I conduct myself as an individual at work, in a family situation, the way I conduct myself in relationships with other people, people of the opposite sex, all of those things, if it isn't in accordance with the word of God, all the words, Lord, I'm using are shallow and meaningless, and they don't mean anything. They've got no substance to them. You see, people can mistake profession for being something that it isn't, but not God. He never mistakes profession for practice, and he doesn't mistake gifts for grace. We did this in your name, we did that in your name, we did the other in your name. But in effect, he's saying to them, it doesn't matter what you did in my name if you don't seek to live your life in obedience to my word. Because without that, you're without saving grace. Christ isn't their saviour. And you're lost. I don't know you. Depart from me. It's worth nothing. You see, miracles won't change society. Miracles that they claim today don't resemble what Christ and the apostles did, and miracles don't show the spirituality of the person who possesses them. What we need today is not miracles on earth that people can see. What we need is the word of God going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit from the pulpit and from the lives of God's people. They were scattered everywhere, preaching the word of God. And what we need is God's people living their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God's word. And that means in every area of life. We can't be picking and choosing as Christians. We really can't. We can't be obeying God and going along quite happily, and then something God says doesn't suit with what we want or what we want to do, and then we ignore it. Any child can do what the parents tell them to do if they're not really bothered one way or the other. But to get a parent to say to a child, no, you can't do that, and they really want to do it, that's often the test of obedience. That's what we need. Don't be deluded. Miracles won't result in thousands of conversions. Miracles that are claimed today don't resemble those of Christ and the apostles. Miracles don't show the spirituality of a person. People perform them in the name of Christ who are now in hell. There they were on the earth doing miraculous things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're in a lost eternity. The world's never conquered by miracles. The miracles of Christ and the apostles didn't conquer the world. What did? What turned the world upside down? It started when Peter, in the power of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, preached the word of God. And thousands were converted. And it's been the same ever since. We need from our churches and in our lives as individual Christians to preach and teach and testify with authority and faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, what God actually says in his word. We need as Christians to be what God calls us to be. The world is in desperate need of Christians to be the salt and the light God calls them to be in his word. we need to come closer to the Lord Jesus as God's people. We need God to revive his church, to quicken us. There are many delusions then concerning the miraculous, but they're seen to be just that when you look at those remarkable words. Have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But the person who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. On the day of judgment, you see, profession won't count for anything, nor what you've done, but what you are. Are you really somebody who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and the fruit of that, by their fruit ye shall know them? You're seeking to live your life with God's help in obedience to God's word. And when you sin and when you disobey, you're grieved and you're sad and you confess it to God and you seek forgiveness and you seek his help and you keep on going on with your aim in life to be doers of the word of God. That's the only person that will stand on the day of judgment. The person who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and has the fruits, the evidence of genuine faith in Christ in their daily living, in their life, in submission to the word of God. Are we such a person? In the grace and mercy of God, have we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And with all our weaknesses and with all our failings that we grieve over, we're seeking day by day to live our lives in obedience to his word. On the day of judgment, you won't fall. Your life is built upon a rock. But it doesn't matter what you profess. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus says, the person that hears my word and doesn't do it, the rain descends, the floods come, the winds blow, beat upon that house, and it fell. It fell. It doesn't survive the troubles and the temptations of life, and it doesn't survive God's final judgment. And when Jesus finished, the people were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority. And God, through the miracles he had done, had demonstrated that he was one who taught as having authority. His words were the very word of God. You should believe and do what Christ says. You should make sure that you're relying on profession or what you've done. It doesn't matter how remarkable what you've done is, but that you're trusting in him for salvation and you're seeking to follow him personally at work and in the home and in your leisure and all the areas of common day life as the word of God requires you. That's spirituality. It really is. It's not performing various meetings, doing outward things. It's not even regularly being a church necessarily. You can do that and be nowhere spiritually. Real spirituality is living your life in obedience to the word of God in every area of life. And the person that seeks to do that really is a wise person. May we have the wisdom to be such. Amen.